All right. Hello and welcome to Belonging Songs That Never Gets Old. We just crack up each time.
I like it.
Welcome again to Belonging Songs. Belonging Songs, the podcast that brings you brand new original song with each episode. And then we talk about the theme of that song and the processes that went into writing and recording it and the changes that we make along the way. I am your host, Wade Dana, and with me today in the studio, my good friends, Chad Carlton.
Hello.
Patrick Crane.
Hello.
Brad Maurer.
Hey.
Went
in alphabetical order that time. Nice work.
Yeah, well, Chad hasn't got the first shout-out yet. Right. I think that was his first official guy in the room shout-out.
Pretty good.
It does feel really good,
pretty
doesn't
good.
It?
Pretty
it's very valid.
He's on a new microphone and everything.
I know. His microphone looks like an electric razor.
Walking on clouds.
It looks like one of those lint removers.
Yeah.
it does.
You got sweatables?
I need one of those.
That is the Aston... Does it say what the...
Sean
asked. I forgot.
Model. Element.
Yeah, the Element.
Is
so
the model.
I had some gift certificates for Christmas, and that's what I used them to get. So this is its first run, really. I tried to record some vocals on a song. Not released episode probably yet. What's it called? Near-Death Experience. Something we're working on. Forthcoming.
It's a magnum opus.
I've recorded the vocals, like re-recorded the first part of them like four times so far. I can't find the microphone I want to use, so...
Cool.
All right, good story. Move along. But today we're listening to a new song by me called Sweet Pea. And this is a song that I wrote the music for in October.
Music and lyrics by Wade Dana.
Music and lyrics by Wade Dana. So it's been months since... It took me months to get lyrics for this. I have a song that I recorded in July still sitting around that needs lyrics. And one that was even... Before that,
you want to talk about how well we write lyrics together?
Patrick and I spent a night trying to write something. We got a chorus that
we did
night,
get a chorus.
So
after 4 hours,
we only need like another page of lyrics
brute
to fill
force
out this song.
Pressure.
That'll come together, hopefully.
This kid's always like, I can't get lyrics, and then when he gets them, it's got to be written in like 8-point font.
Yeah,
every verse is labeled as
like choose your own adventure.
It's like when it rains, it pours.
Yeah. It does.
Like just try writing a verse, a chorus, and another verse, and call it fucking day, bud.
I tried. So this
have
one,
you thought about just writing butterflies 40 times on a page?
It's fucking hello.
Well, I did tell Brad.
Have you ever heard me say I can't write lyrics?
No.
No. It's.
I did tell Brad.
A lyric.
I said I've got.
I'm just like that'll work. Fucking A. Let's go.
Brad can't write music right now.
I can't write music.
I've got music laying around. I told him if you got words, I'll send you music.
I suck.
So, it's a fair trade
right now.
It is a fair trade. So you might be hearing something like that in the near future.
You heard from me. I got all excited when I had a phone demo after just throwing my guitar around the room.
I'm trash right now.
Yeah.
Trash.
We are all human trash. Let's just acknowledge it and move on.
So this one I had to really wrestle to get the words. Like I said, months and months. And it's funny when we were leading up to season 3 of the show, you know, we had the three months off to write new music, and I didn't get any new lyrics.
Yeah,
I got a few for the first episode, Time to Grow Up. I had to rewrite, but that was like one
verses,
verse, right? Yeah. And the rest of them were already there. And then the other two songs have been Brad's songs that were already written. So
those were written in 2008.
So this is like the first new song for the season that I've done, and the first new song I've done probably since Modern Technology.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and I guess we'll talk about kind of how the lyrics came together after we listened to it, because I do have some things to say about that, like what parts I got first and then what I had.
The lyrics have something to say.
Oh, fuck.
Well, this song tells a story, and it's not the story I set out to write, but it turned in. I'll tell you this, the very end of the song, the last bridge there, outro on your page, that was the last part I wrote. I didn't think the story was heading there. I guess I should give a trigger warning that this contains subject matter that some may be uncomfortable with, but I didn't expect this to go where it was. And actually, once I knew where this was going, I had a different title for the song, and then the very last line of the song, which gave me the title, came last. So this song was going to be called something else. It was going to be called Oh Juliet, and then it ended up being called Sweet Pea, and you'll see why. And I think that's a good time to listen to this demo. Oh, I should also mention that this is a song, if you recall, our first I'm In Ya bonus instrumental episode, we were talking about Chad recording drums for a song and that they didn't work because I hadn't recorded the lyrics yet. So to try and keep things moving along, sometimes I'll send Chad songs that aren't fully formed. Like I just have the guitar and he'll record drums to it. And up until this point, that's worked out perfectly. But this song, the drums that we recorded were not meshing with the song once I got the melody and everything down. So you're not going to hear the drums that Chad recorded. But it's not because Chad played bad drums to it. They just didn't fit once I got the melody and the lyrics. And in this case, that's what the song is. You know,
and there's, of them. So there's a lot of things that could go wrong here when
because
you look at
the
words.
This is something that we've fallen to the trap of in the past. You especially, Brad, but me too. Like in the past, we would record something. And then if it needed to be changed, we'd be like, well, whatever, that's it. It's done. Man. You know, like, but we're trying to be more mindful of to serve the songs. And I feel bad for putting Chad through that. But so if we can get him back out to do more drums, we will. And if we can't, we'll stick with these.
Don't feel bad. Chad likes playing the drums.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So he's just he's got to play more drums now.
And it's all work in progress, an experiment. So
job security.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys want to listen to this?
Mm-hmm. I'm saying goodbye, throwing all the furniture into the fire and letting the curtains fly. Riding away while the flames grow to burn up the night, and my hat's down low, and I've got nowhere to go now. Oh, the fire, it's all just ashes now. Stars loosen the falling on the night I buried you. The moon invited the howling on the night I buried you. The night I buried you. I'm halfway gone, just a drop without an ocean or a gale with no storm cloud. Oh, the fire, it's all just ashes now. In the falling on the night I buried you. The moon invited the howling on the night I buried you. The night I buried you. Sweet sleep, I hope to join you soon. Please dream. But when I join you soon, when they bury me, when I first saw you, I knew right away my whole life until that point was leading to that day. I vowed to myself we couldn't leave without meeting. Then you came up to me and said the same thing, and I thought it would never end. Like time didn't mean a thing for you and me. So when you stopped breathing, I still held out some hope. Your heart remained to beat, and I fell to my knees and tore at my shell. And all these memories I can't unsee. The day we were married was like vivid dreaming. We never wished to wake or ever leave the bed, and I thought it would never end. Like time didn't mean a thing for you and me. So when you stopped breathing, I still held out some hope. Your heart remained to beat, and I fell to my knees. put this rope around my neck. And if the branch lifts me up higher, I can hear your voice say, rest, but this is not what I'd wanted for you. And then my last synapse is fire, sweet pea, I'll join you soon.
Can we hear the instrumental version?
No, no. It's been a long time since I played a brand new song for somebody, so no, let me get all nervous.
I want to go first, and I have a lot to say, but I have to figure out how to say it. The first thing is, I was captured by the lyrics, right? So I was like intently following along and paying attention to this story, and a lot of it is because of the lyrical delivery.
Okay.
And I really like the lyrical delivery. I have like little check marks by a bunch of lines there. I'm just like, ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just the way it was sung just sucked me right in. And the music sounds great. The guitars sound great. But the story is probably one of the better ones you've ever written. Like, I really like the story.
Thank
like,
you. And the music needs to be filled out a lot more.
Absolutely. Like there's parts that have to be done. Like, I have little ideas. Like, I wrote down, like, on some of these verses where you stretch out, like, the go now. Like, it'd be really cool if that was, like, thick and doubled.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't. That
right?
Exact
where
line,
it just,
actually.
Like, it drags out. And you have a couple of those. Storm Cloud does it again. And, like, I would kind of accent those a little bit, especially because it's a lighter half of the song. It would have drawn me in even more. But I guess that's it. I didn't have a lot to say other than I really like it.
You really hyped yourself up.
I really kind of, wah-wah.
What you say about the lyrical delivery was the reason that the drums that we recorded, they were getting
it. It would have deducted from that, probably. Yeah, like, it's kind of like an A Star Is Born kind of story where, like, you hear it and you're not really knowing where it's going. Had you not said something about the end, I wouldn't have remembered to pay close attention to it. I tried to avoid it until I was kind of just following along as it was coming. And I just think it's well written.
I definitely thought it was well written, too. I do like the story. As you said earlier, you know, now that I hear the lyrics, it will definitely change. Mm-hmm. You know, no, I want to redo it.
The first part of your drums actually fit pretty
a
well.
A lot of them do. It did better than I thought
it was. The second half mainly where...
second half needs to be bigger. It needs to elevate a little more. Just a lot of the cymbal work, really, mainly. Some of those, the fast 16ths and 8ths were too much. It makes it too busy. It needs to be a little more flowing in the beginning with the verses. It needs to slow down and not be so busy. I really liked your harmonies in the end of the choruses that you did.
Yeah, I want more of that.
The harmonies sounded good. It filled them out.
This memories. Yeah,
those
right?
are the only places I put background vocals. I probably will go back and put... This is still early.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Really like the harmonies. I thought those sounded good. The other note I had was rhythm guitar. Your original guitar tracks definitely support the note and the sound and all that. I wanted a little more rhythm guitar in some of the
like,
verses.
Do you think like an extra guitar?
Bigger, bit yes.
Okay.
But a different part, but pretty much just bigger, almost strumming.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, just to carry it.
I think either bigger or different. It needs something to break up the sameness. I think that's
the second part.
Yeah. Well, I maybe in the first part too. I need to think about
the first
this
part.
Actually.
I was thinking could use some slide guitar.
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, Chad.
No, you're good.
I'm actually kind of playing this through in my head. I might have to listen to it again.
We can.
I agree with everything that's been said. What I'm struggling with is I think, again, it's your writing style that's intentional that I just need to get over my preconceived notion of the song. Because it starts, and I get where I thought it was going was something similar to Trailblazing. In timbre, in tone. Lyrically, it just put me, for some reason, in a time past.
Okay, I love that you said that, because the first verse is the first thing I wrote. And I wrote it because, listening to the music, I felt like I was like homesteading or something.
Yep.
And that's where
exactly
in my head, that's where I
what
wrote
I felt.
This.
which I think is my struggle with the second part, is it like rockets me forward mm-hmm. to almost a contemporary story. And I think it's the musical story that's uh-huh. being told there, where I feel like it's a modern grief loss. And I'm also, when I kind of peeked ahead and looked at the lyrics, I was expecting it to stay more somber throughout. And you juxtapose the music with the lyrics again.
Yeah.
Which
I'll explain why I did that.
Well, I think I might know why you did mm-hmm. it, which is sort of the racing head thoughts, reminiscing. It builds up more and more until ultimately he kills himself mm-hmm. in the story. And so I appreciate that intent, if I'm right about that intent, but it throws me off. And so I think I just need a couple more listens, because it almost pulled me out of the song where I was mm-hmm. and put me into a new song between the two parts and a new place emotionally, where I was very much connecting with the character in the first. And then I'm like, I understand lyrically what's going on. I understand thematically what's going on, but I just didn't feel it there. So I think if you add something more to the beginning and the end that meshes it together and can make it more uniform sonically, that'll change. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It kind of does. So, yeah. Like I said, when I started writing this, I had that picture of like being out in right. the West or something, right. like a cabin by itself. And then I had almost the same thoughts you're having now when I was writing this. I was like, is this taking us out of that scenery too much? Almost to the point where I thought about changing the lyrics, riding away and my hat's down low, just mm-hmm. to like, you could leave riding away to like my head's down low, so you yeah. don't get that like almost cowboy right. feel. But I do like the juxtaposition of the mood shift mm-hmm. because it's memories back to like the whirling, like great mm-hmm. times of like meeting. Mm-hmm. So the way I wanted to tell the story was like, okay, something really bad's happening, mm-hmm. it's burning this house down. Mm-hmm. And then you don't know why
right.
until we get to the first chorus. And then you're like, okay, this person he loves mm-hmm. has died. And then I liked going back even further, again, stepping back to now when they first met and how magical it was mm-hmm. to give that whole first part way more weight, even to the point where like all these memories I can unsee, thinking about the good things.
Right.
I mean, and the bad stuff.
Right.
Like
right.
But a lot of it is right. juxtaposed by like, I can't forget all how great everything was.
The good memories are the hardest.
Right.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying, because I kind of had those same thoughts. Yeah. So
lyrically, it's incredibly strong. It just needs either me to get over myself and my expectations and listen to it a few times, or it just needs bookends of part A, part B, and those bookends come together in a transition somewhere.
So right?
Or echo each other.
I had originally written lyrics for the end right after the end. There's that musical interlude that says like, sweet pea, I'll join you soon. When they bury me, to lie right next to you, lie right next to you.
You don't need it.
And we've talked about this a bunch in songs where sometimes you just need a breath after something like this, like a big crescendo.
I think that's, you've got the ultimate exclamation mark of the last line. It's done.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a disagree, but I see it differently, I think, than the way you see it. Like, it fit for me. I got that right away, mm-hmm. why the music changed. Uh-huh. And it was because we went back to normal.
Hey,
right?
I got it.
And we were in normal time, right? Moving forward. Yeah. And the story had a completely different tone. It was reflection. It was good. And you completely understand why the first half of the song needs to be somber. It's sad.
You call me dumb?
No, I'm just saying I was emotional. I didn't get taken out of that feeling. I was waiting for it to connect, and it did for me.
Good.
Okay.
So
I just thought it got a little too joyous almost. And when we first recorded it, that's kind of what I thought. I was like, mm-hmm. these cymbals are too busy. You know, this is too much. It should almost be that slow tempo. It should be a little more joyous when it reflects to the happier stuff.
Maybe that's slide whistle.
I can control that a little bit.
the mood. Yeah, because these verses are like the happiest points
correct.
Of this person's life.
Right. Correct.
Like, so it
right.
should be like, we're happy. And even halfway into this first chorus, we're still in that happy land.
To Chad's point, though, I think it's important to know that a sad guy's recalling
it. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Even,
so you don't want to.
Joyous.
Yeah, you
even
don't.
Joyous.
You don't want to completely act like nothing happened. It still has to stay in this overall tone where it's a sad person recalling good things, mm-hmm. right? I think that's important to not lose mm-hmm. that. It doesn't quite lose it for me, but I think it could get lost if it gets too built upon.
And a lot of it is just the lyrics now. They yeah. have to fit the lyrics.
Maybe add a line. I'm a sad thing. Person recalling happier yeah. times.
They just need to accent change the
title.
Lyrics.
Yeah, change the title.
Sweet Pea from sad a sad person.
What do you guys think about the title? Like,
I love the title. I like it. Yeah. Love the title since the second I saw it.
Yeah, I, absolutely.
I wasn't sure about it. Like I said, that was
pissed
the very last line I had. The last words I had were Sweet Pea. Mm-hmm. I had like sweet dreams, sweet sleep. And then I thought, like,
these dreams.
Right. It's not going to be as good as my song Yams. But
well, like I had mentioned, I was thinking of before I had the words Sweet Pea to call this song Oh Juliet, like a Romeo yeah. and Juliet type yeah. of thing. But then something clicked. Those were the last words I had. But I was like, how much more weight would it be to give this the vulnerability of like throwing out a pet name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't say this very often. Perfect. Title cool. and last line.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thanks. It's good. Yeah. I think it's good. Boom.
Yeah. I was nervous. I don't know why. Because you know how you...
It should be. Because it's total trash.
That's how you go. That's how you go. I wish I could get nervous for a song again.
I just have total apathy.
For me, moving forward, if you guys all agree that this is structure-wise is good to go, I'm mm-hmm. going to work on filling out the instrumentation a little more. I really am going to play with a slide guitar on that. And maybe that's something I can pull into the second part.
That's a Patrick Trapp, just add a slide guitar, and you know I'll sign yeah, off yeah. on it.
Yeah. Well, and, so slide guitar and a kazoo,
yep.
and this song will be done.
Yeah.
Double some, kazoo.
Get some flute in there. Yeah,
a little bit of flute.
A little fife.
I can squeak out some recorder.
How do we get some fife in there? Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to keep working on this unless anybody has anything else they want to say about it. And three, two, one, no. So, to the future. Set course.
To the future!
Okay, we're back. Talk about this real feel-good tune, Sweet Pea, by me. When we left it, well, first I should say, here with Brad and Patrick.
Still.
No Chad today, but we did get his drums on this. So when we left this last, we had talked about how the drums we had previously recorded weren't meshing well. So last weekend, Chad came over. We put drums to this. We put drums to one of Brad's new songs. Had a real good time hanging out and doing that. And now they work much better. I also did a bunch more recording on this. So some of Chad's suggestions from our last listen were some more rhythm guitars, and I did end up doing that. Especially, well, I did them in both parts. So this is like an A-B song, which I've, you know, kind of gotten into doing this past year or so. Mm-hmm. So in the first half, I did add like a single tremolo guitar because the main guitar, which was panned over to the left, was kind of busy, and I kind of wanted something else. There was another guitar just doing chords on the right, but I wanted something else to balance it out, so I added a just...
Fins on the left?
Yeah, I added a tremolo guitar to kind of help balance things out in the first half, and then in the second half, I did add a distorted guitar to balance out the distorted guitar that was originally on the right. And in the first version we listened to, there was a clean guitar on the opposite side, but it was kind of leaning over to one side because of the pig nose, I believe. So I added another distortion guitar to the left to balance the mix out there. Let's see. Brad, your notes were to double some of the vocal
some
parts.
Of the go nows.
Yeah.
And the, yep.
So I added a lot of background vocals to the first half of the song mm-hmm. and more to the second half.
Good.
Specifically to some of the lines that you wanted. And Patrick, your big note was trying to tie the two halves together.
I'm guessing you didn't do anything.
No,
that.
I did. I really tried to. And
rassoed
I think.
Rassoed him.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the work had to be done on the first half.
Mm hmm.
So we were getting like the vibe of like somebody being out homesteading
right,
or whatever.
Right, right.
So I think a lot of the more production elements like background vocals and things that are present in the second half being added to the first half kind of balance the song out more.
Okay.
I think. And
so connection by default.
Yeah, it kind of makes it connected a little better. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that. It's clearly still a part A, part B type of thing, but I think that that makes it more of a whole. Added slide guitar, that was one of the elements we had talked about. So I'd put a little slide guitar in the first half and at the end to help tie it.
I think that's just pandering to Patrick. That's like throwing Chum in a sea of sharks. He'll probably like it.
No, slide guitar. Look at our notes from last time. I have all the revisions written down from you three, and I really did try to
see that in your heart
to keep those in mind as I worked on this. The only other thing I did was reamp the bass. So the first time we listened, it was just direct bass. So I sent that signal out to my Ampeg Gemini 2 and recorded it for real through an amp and mixed this. And this is the first song this season where I had time to send this mix in to get feedback on, mix feedback from some other people. And then after doing that, did some tweaks last night. So I didn't finish this till like 1 o'clock in the morning last night. And I had to mix the final revisions on my headphones because there was laundry happening and all sorts of things. So it still could be up for tweaking because, like I said, it was late and I was working on it.
What are some of the things they said to you? Is it
so
hertzy and stuff like that? Or
Yeah. Like, so we get feedback here on the podcast, which is like, this guitar is too loud, or I don't know if I like this. But so the feedback I'm getting there is more like, 300 hertz in the guitar could be cut a little to give more room for the vocals type
of thing. Technical stuff.
And the big note I have been getting, it has been about drums. So in this mix, my original one, the drums were a little weak. So I tried to beef those up a little more, and I did some parallel compression on the kick and snare, and then also on the whole kit, which means I send those signals to their own tracks and really compress them a lot and then mix that in a little bit just to add more.
Cool.
Little boom and ambience to the drums, and just little tweaks like that. Like, yeah, cutting some frequencies here, and like, oh, the vocals are kind of getting a little lost here. Maybe try to cut something out of this guitars to let those shine a little more. So more technical stuff, which I think has been helping.
Do you think those guys would be better on the podcast? Like, should we invite them in?
Yeah, maybe. No. I'm hoping it's done, but I'm
really
excited.
Give it a whirl.
Excited for you guys to hear the mix.
I want to hear this. I'm excited.
Turn it down 1.21 gigawatts. And speed it up a couple octaves.
Bring this up to 88.
I'm saying goodbye, throwing all the furniture into the pyre and letting the curtains lie. Riding away while the flames go to burn up the night, and my hat's down low, and I've got nowhere to go now. All the fire, it's all just ashes now. Stars loosen the falling on the night I buried you. The moon invited the howling on the night I buried you. The night I buried you. I'm halfway gone, just a drop without an ocean or a gale with no storm. All the fire, it's all just ashes now. Stars loosen the falling on the night I buried you. The moon invited the I hope to join you soon. Please dream of when I join you soon, when they bury me.
Well, damn. I think you did a great job, Wade.
Thank you.
I think I like the doubling of the vocals. I really like the pad sound on the pre-chorus.
Yeah, me too.
Really, cool. When the first one came in, I was thinking about it after. Maybe that one's a little quieter, and then the second one's the volume you have it at. But it's not a big thing. Like, it was just surprised at first. I bet if listen to it again, I'll be fine.
They should be at the same volume.
No, it seems like that's what I wanted, is what I'm saying. Like, quieter. But I think it's okay.
Oh, I got you, yeah.
The slide guitar on the Sweet Sleep, awesome. And then the rest of it checked all the boxes, too. I didn't really have a whole lot of notes from last time for that, but it's really a great song. At the end of the day, you feel all the things, you know? I played a movie in my head with this whole thing as it was playing on, and that's what, you know, damn well, that's what I like about music, so.
Awesome.
You hit it. For me, Patrick's going to hate it, but you did a good job. Okay.
Fuck it. Anyway, what do you think? I'm serious.
What's up?
Yeah, well put, Brad. I think I drew about 20 circles. Actually, it's probably 3 around the Sweet Sleep part. That transition just works. You solved the puzzle. Adding that slide. In fact, it worked so well that I caught myself doing what Brad was doing. I'm playing this movie, and then I'm like, oh, we're in part B. And I didn't even notice that we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked. Great job. That's all I got.
So one thing I did, other than the slide guitars in that part, is cut my vocal double down to just a single voice.
I didn't even notice
I noticed
that.
You did that on the oh, shit.
The very last When I Buried.
The night I buried you on those. And that is very effective because it strips it down,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Puts the emphasis on the right syllable.
Okay.
You know, so I like that a lot.
That was actually a suggestion from somebody on the Pure Mix.
Really?
And it was something I knew about the first part of the song, where, like, this would probably be better with a single vocal, dry vocal, like, not doubled, I mean.
At all?
But
I think that's...
Yeah. But it's kind of like...
You got to do it.
Yeah, I'm so used to doubling my vocals, and it's hard almost to
hear it without it,
because I'm like, it sucks.
I'm the same way.
You need that weight, and
you kind of lose error, you know?
Right.
I'm not a professional singer. I just think I'm not
as good of a singer that can carry it, pull it off all the time.
Yeah.
So it's something I played around with early and was like, I don't like it. I don't like my voice. But I do think it's effective when you want to get really intimate like that. I noticed some of the delays from my background vocals bled in a little bit. I got to cut those out.
Yep.
Because I don't want those there. I want that to be the vocal on its own. But that was something that I did do in that part to try and really bring it like right in focus.
Yeah, I like it.
I couldn't decide, but I had a thought where... For your chorus, like your 1B chorus, where it gets bigger at the end. At the end of that, the transition into that verse 4 felt kind of like I wanted maybe a little overlap there where something did trail off and fade, but I wasn't sure. I just made a little mark where I can't forget.
Right.
I was thinking I wanted that forget to stretch a little bit.
Like
but
a delay on that?
Yeah.
Like going into verse 4?
Yeah, quiet. Because it just seemed like it was a direct transition, and it made it feel like we went back to the beginning. But that isn't a huge deal for me either way. Like, I think I will like it either way. It's just whatever maybe something to try to see if it works for you.
So Brad's saying, like, I can't unsee, I can't forget. And then it goes, the day we were
Where I might want to have that. Because it does build up into that I can't forget part. Yeah. And maybe just stretch it out so it blends into that. Like I said, I had a thought, and then I made a hash mark to make a note by it. And then I was like, it doesn't.
I do know that the really vocals, upset me. Like, if you look, they do overlap a tiny bit right at the end of that in the beginning. But I know what you're saying. Maybe like a delay or throw or something to keep, go in. Yeah, or even a guitar note.
Yeah, I can look guitar into note that. Might be. Just that's, like I said, I just bring it up because I thought about it. Doesn't mean it's what I want.
Those pads in the beginning, I originally had really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Let's go ahead and get technical here. There are three different instruments that I'm using there to create that. I'm using the Arturia V collection. One is a modular synth, one's called the CMI, and one's a Selena. So it's three different sounds. I went through all the sounds, like looking for ones I wanted. And I originally had it mixed really low, and then I like did the rough mix and like turned it way up just to hear it.
And heard it by accident.
It was almost a mistake. And I was like, why do I have it so low? I like it up there. It's like the fire coming up or something in the song. And I think that's something I've been trying to be more conscious of when mixing, is like not being afraid to
put that thing out
to
there.
To bring stuff up. Yeah. And that was also some feedback I've gotten on mixes where this one particular one person was like, it sounds like a demo still because it's so dry. You don't have a lot of reverb on the drums or the vocals. And that's always something I'm really careful with to not overdo when I'm mixing. Because I think that's our style. Like, especially you and me, like we don't like, and Patrick, a whole lot of overproduction, delay throws and huge reverb and chorus and everything all over everything. Like, it's just
super
not my
squished thing. Yeah.
But I think maybe trying to be so careful about it isn't always the best
thing. You get too intentional. Yeah.
So I did
end up overproducing by underproducing.
Yeah, exactly. So I did end up adding some more reverb to my vocals and some of the drums, because we're not recording with drum room tracks in here because they'll just sound like garbage.
Yeah.
And for this song, I did cut the tom mics completely out. This is something we're going to talk about when we get to your next song, where you've told me up front, you're like, I want this to be more gritty sounding. Mm-hmm. And I've already listened to that song and did a rough mix on it. And I'll leave those in because it gives it just more stuff going on, more energy. This, I thought it needed to be cleaned up, especially in the beginning. So
you're trying to tell the story. This is more, everything that happens within this song should support the vocal narrative.
Yeah.
And not, the vocal narrative doesn't support the music. Some songs, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. You're really more into the music than you are the lyrics. This is very lyrical forward. You got to get this story right.
Right.
And the music's just to help tell that story. And I think that's where some of that production stuff comes in. Right. Because if you start doing too much, you're going to distract from the story a little bit.
Brad, do you think that would have helped if, like, chorus 1B was about 300 hertz lower?
Lower. I could tell there was a hertz issue.
Yeah. This whole thing was kind of hertzy.
In what instrument?
I think it was 39.9 hertz.
Yeah, that's too many. I was getting about 0.9, 0.6
hertz.
I do want to ask you guys about that last chorus and the bridge and the outro vocals, because there's so much going on in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I had played my initial mix for Shannon, and she didn't catch what I was saying there. So I tried to raise the volume and get those to sit better.
She didn't learn about the death?
No, not right off the bat.
So that's a tough question, because we had the lyrics in front of us for both listens.
It is a hard question.
My gut says no, that I didn't have trouble understanding what you were saying. Play that again. Give us a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a perfectly articulated speech, but I'm hearing what you're saying.
Okay,
I think anytime, the way my brain works is if something grabs me, I listen closer.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you say to put this rope around my neck, I'm like, wait, what's happening?
Wait, what? Okay.
And
hold me closer, Tony Danza.
I'm listening to the rest of that, all that more close.
While we're talking about the end, a little thing, but I really like that you still hear the hum of the amp in the background, because I think that is really analogous to the life ending.
It's
just that little signal.
I'm glad you brought that up.
The last breath.
Because that's normally something I take out of, or not, no, I mean,
50-50 these days.
Depends on the song.
Yeah.
But somebody had commented on that on the Pure Bix website that, I'd like to hear this cleaned up more. take that like amp hum out, mm-hmm. unless that's the vibe you're going for. And as I was mixing this, I kept putting that off. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll take that off. And there's even spots where you can hear in those breaks, you can hear Chad doing the four count on the hi-hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I ended up just really liking that stuff in this song, just to give it more of like a live a band
human,
feel.
Human element. Yeah.
I always like that no matter what the song's about.
That goes back
like
to overproducing.
Yeah.
Like you wanna hear musicians playing music.
Absolutely.
Unless I'm listening to a synth pop band.
Yeah. And this story, like the theme of it, it's in acts. It's almost like a play or a movie, mm-hmm. and like it's like live action. And I think you need that stuff to get that feel.
And what helped that immensely are the drums that are now in here.
Oh.
There is some, I wish Chad was here to talk about this today, but there are some of the fills in that last chorus that he does where he just does the...
All the way through?
Like, mm-hmm. Almost like apprehensive though. And it works so effectively. Yeah. And especially the fill at the very end. When I say my last synapse is fire, Sweet Pea, and he does this on the snare, like this machine gun thing, almost of, and it
firing.
Really emulates that mm-hmm. firing. And
he's really, really good at that kind of stuff. He's fun to follow along with when you're playing for that reason.
Talk about elevating that part that really brought it to life, ironically.
No, the drum change was a big move, right?
And so I think, Brad was here during the recording.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, and just listening to, you know, having heard it before,
mm-hmm.
and then hearing what Chad and you guys were talking about as
while
you were
we
doing
were
this,
it
was like, oh yeah, that's gonna change this thing a lot, and it really does. It makes it so you almost don't notice them, which is what the song needs.
Yep. And we had to do a back and forth of like, no, I think we need to be more simple here. Yeah. So Brad was sitting on the amp over here. I was recording.
Yeah,
Chad
and sometimes
was here.
Chad would go nuts on it. And then we're like, no, we probably got to scale that back a little bit.
Yep. So we did a bunch of takes and
dial it back 20% there, Squirrely Chad.
Yeah.
Yep.
take her off about 10, 15% there, Squirrely Chad.
And then this drum comp here is, I comped together probably four or five different takes to make what we have here. And that's something I did want to talk about. I was thinking maybe we'd talk about it in your episode, but we can touch on it here, is the difference between comping drums and editing drums. Because I think some listeners might not know what we're talking about when we say that. So, like I just mentioned, we did, I don't know, 10 takes of drums here.
Yeah,
which
it was quite a few. Yeah.
You know, some of them were only the first half, some of them were the second half, some of them were whole songs. So what happens after that is the next day or whenever I come in to do the drum comp, that means I'm going to pick the best parts of each take to try and create one super take that I'm going to use for the song. So I have to go through and listen to each take. And what I do is usually I'll have a pad of paper with the song sections written down, like so verse, intro, verse, chorus, and so forth. And as the song plays and I'm listening to the drum parts, I'll put a check next to like the verse one, if I like the drums.
That's good, yeah.
And then if the chorus, if I hear a flub, I'll just put an X, you know. And I'll do that for every take. So I'll have a list of all these 10. I'll look at all the check marks. Typically, I'll find the best take that has check marks all the way through. And I'll kind of put that as my
main
target track. I'm gonna use this as the base and then go back. And then I'll go part by part. So I've got this one. And I'll listen to all the ones with checks. And I'll say like, okay, well, this is the one I like the best. I'm going to put it here. And that's how I put this all together. And then once I get the whole song, that's the drum comp. After that, now I have to edit the drums. And that means if there's anything that's off time, I go in and correct throughout the whole song. Because this song was originally recorded to a click track and all the instruments were, it's more noticeable to hear small fluctuations mm-hmm. in time. So I don't grab every single beat and move it to the grid. I listen to a section and be like, well, the snare there is in this section, everything's dragging a little bit. So I'll grab a whole section and kind of shift it over a little. And I do that. So there's probably like 1,000 edits on each song that I do just on the drums. That's probably hyperbole, mm-hmm. but there's a few hundred.
Good amount.
Probably.
Yeah.
And not because Chad's not playing awesome. It's just because I want to lock this to the bass and the things that are already recorded there. Some of those elements, that's been done too as well.
Part of that, what makes that probably more necessary than other things is you're already coming to the song with all that stuff done.
Yes.
A lot of times, like when you play live, just eye contact cleans a lot of that stuff up,
yep.
right? Because you can kind of watch where he's going and you can mirror notes, and so, a lot of that stuff will still be tight. That's what when people say there's a tight band, that's what they do. And this, you kind of are working backwards, and so that it makes it a lot more necessary.
For instance, on the I'm In You redo songs we're doing, there's no click track.
Yeah.
So Chad is the template, but I still do go in and I'll listen to the drums on their own or everything together and be like, we're speeding up here, like in this spot, and I'll move stuff around. And that's why we get him first.
Yeah.
Because we record him first, then I go in and tweak.
Play to it.
You know, if things are getting a little squirrely here, I'll tweak it up, and then we'll record the bass and guitar to that.
It's different.
So now it's even, you know.
Tighter.
More tight, yeah.
Yep.
I just wanted to touch on this.
No, that's awesome.
It's terms we've been throwing around, which I don't know if the listeners knew what they were, so.
Deep dive.
Yeah. I don't think I have any more notes for this song.
I think it's done, man. I think you did a bang up job.
I am gonna like tweak those little delay throws that I heard bleeding over a little bit, and I'll look at that one element. Maybe I'll throw something in it.
Like I said, I only mentioned it because I thought about it.
The only spot I noticed it is in that, I think in the Sweet Sleep part, because there's the tremolo guitar that you added.
Yeah,
when you get tremolo and delay fighting.
Yeah, you notice it.
I really do like that balance, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool. You added that right ear.
That worked well.
I like that a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
You probably didn't even notice the one in the second half when that was kind of the point. It's over in the left, but towards the end, it is doing some like lead stuff, but it's tucked far back. When you take it away, you really notice it. Like, oh, wow. It's missing there. But when it's in there, you don't really notice it. It's like kind of an octave up on some of the stuff that's happening in the right ear.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Sweet.
Sweet pea. So another song done. Let's see. Let me pull this thing out here. What's this?
Another song about frozen vegetables.
It's our end of episode notes.
Go. We made it.
We did. shit.
Perfect.
Yep. Here
cut,
we go.
Cut, print.
Cut, print. I'm happy with this song. And BSers, listeners, if you're happy with the song, you're happy with the show in general, please tell your friends. We would really like to get this out to more people. Good way you can do that is, like I said, tell your friends. Give us some ratings and reviews. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast. Sometimes it's as easy as just hitting the 5-star button. It takes a second. You can listen to all the songs on our Spotify playlist. Link in the episode description. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I put the lyrics to the songs on Facebook the day before the episodes come out. Please feel free to visit our website. You can listen to the podcast there. You can listen to all the songs. Check out our merch. Ooh, brand new Belonging Songs NFTs available on our website. All you got to do is go there, screenshot something, send us money.
We'll make you a millionaire.
Yep. I think that's about it, right?
Brad's writing satanic band names.
Mustained.
It doesn't look enough like lightning bolts.
Yeah, no.
The apostrophe. How do you make an apostrophe look badass in a font?
All right. Well, Brad, whatever Brad's doing, we'll put up on our Instagram.
When we do the outro, I doodle. Okay.
Did I hit everything?
Yeah, I think so.
You got it.
All right. BSers, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Beautiful logo. Make it drip blood too.
Ooh, should the D be like a cloud with lightning coming out of it?
Yeah, probably. It's not dripping enough blood.
Oh no, you could do a variant where the instead of lightning bolts is vampire teeth and they're dripping blood.
Oh shit. It's been a while since I could hold my hello me. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good. Boom, done. Next.